the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quivido and Damian Collado. Happy Friday,
good
you guys.
Morning.
Hello.
It's
yes.
Friday, June 3rd.
June 3rd.
Wow.
National Woo-hoo. Donut Day.
I
and
thought you were
day.
Making it funny when you walked in with all your The Heavenly Donuts.
No.
You were being serious.
I'm glad I got there early. I mean, they were on their third round of making more donuts.
Wow.
They were like getting wiped out. So,
they are busy. That's awesome.
Yeah, so they're doing well and making a lot of donuts. If you get a chance, go to the Heavenly Donut if you're in Baton Rouge.
That's right.
Right there at Highland Road and I-10.
Okay, and Karen Cotton is with us this morning, and she recommends the cake donut. She said it is the best, freshest. She's woohooing from the other room.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so have a donut, and let's pray.
And let's pray.
In the
That's
name
right.
of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who have made the blood of martyrs the seed of Christians, mercifully grant that the field which is your church, watered by the blood shed by St. Charles Lwanga and his companions, may be fertile and always yield you an abundant harvest. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father,
Amen.
And the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Charles Lwanga and companions, pray for us.
Pray for us. We are joined by Eric Miller. He's a state advocate for the Louisiana State Council with the Knights of Columbus monthly update. So he'll join us in just a few moments to give us an update of what they're up to for the month of June. Annie Phoenix joins us. She is the executive director of the Jesuit Social Research Institute at Loyola University New Orleans. And she's going to talk about an event called From Prison Cell to PhD. This is cool. You guys, we're going to talk about this. It's a really good event. It's going to be live streamed and everything like that. So you can take a look. If you're not in the New Orleans area, you can join in. Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, will give us a recipe for the weekend. And Father Jamin David joins us to talk about the diaconate formation. He has so many titles, but in a nutshell, he's Vicar General. And he's also the pastor at St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland in Albany for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So, yeah, diaconate formation, Damian's going to be a great interview with Father Jamin. He always has great things to say. I hope he gets at least 8 hours of sleep a night with all the things that he has to do in the Diocese of Baton Rouge.
I got a feeling he doesn't.
I can't imagine he does because he has some major responsibilities in the diocese.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully they'll assist him with some of these new assignments.
Yep,
somebody
I think he does have someone going that way.
I think Father Paul Gross is helping him in the diaconate program now. So we'll get more
into
that.
I'm glad he has time for us.
Huh?
I'm glad he has time for us.
You're
morning.
Right.
Me too.
Well, if you got time, here's a quick look at the weather. No real change. Cloudier this morning than the past two mornings. Afternoon showers expected, as we've been having the last few days, so very similar. Sunshine in and out. The showers will probably come in the afternoon. High today is going to be in the mid-80s because of the cloud cover. Lows will be in the upper 60s tonight. Winds right now out of the north-northeast at about 60 miles an hour. Chance of rain, though, is high. 60% chance of rain today in our area. Weekend should be nice, though. Sunny skies, slight afternoon shower, maybe. It's going to be hit and miss. Highs will be back in the 90s and the lows in the 70s. So temperatures around the area right now. Baton Rouge, the cool spot, 72. Bay St. Louis, 80 degrees. Elsewhere, New Orleans, 79. And it's 74 on the North Shore as well as in Houma Thibodaux. That's your forecast and your temps, and we're going to be back with the Gospel and Gospel Reflection, as well as Eric Miller. It's 5 after on Wake Up.
A good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. After Jesus had revealed himself to his disciples and eaten breakfast with them, he said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
In this message, Jesus confirms Peter as the chief shepherd of his universal church. In his office as the visible head of the church, Peter and his successors have the task of shepherding Jesus' entire flock, thereby exercising a unique share in Christ's supreme authority. Three times Peter was asked to reaffirm his love for Jesus by a way of renouncing the three times he denied his Lord. To capture the feeling of the dialogue between Jesus and Peter, it is necessary to understand the meaning of two Greek verbs that are used for love. One, agapao, which means perfect love, and phileo, which means brotherly love or friendly affection. And so Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love agapao me more than these?" We might remember in the safety of the upper room, Peter made the boast that he would be faithful to Jesus even if all others fell away. That self-confident pride is now gone. Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," but using the verb phileo, indicating the minimal love of friendship. And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Then Jesus asked a second time, "Do you love me?" Again using that verb, agapao, perfect love. Once again, Peter replied, "Lord, you know that I love you," using the word for minimal love, phileo. And Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." When Jesus asked a third time, "Do you love me?" Peter was grieved because, you see, Jesus used the word phileo for love, meaning, "Peter, can you even say you have minimal love for me?" Peter replied, "Lord, you know everything," implying his belief in Jesus' divinity. Then he said, "You know that I, phileo, love you. Lord, that at least I have minimal love for you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus ended this dialogue, his humbled apostle, with the summons, "Follow me." On the day of our judgment, we won't need to say a word in our defense, because our actions will answer the question, "Do you love me?" Will they demonstrate that we loved God with our whole heart, or with minimal love, or maybe no love at all? What we do proclaims the truth at the moment of judgment. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Father Chris Decker, welcome back to Wake Up on a Friday morning, June 3rd. And with us in our as our guest is Eric Miller, State Advocate for the Louisiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus, here for his monthly update. Good morning, Eric. What's cooking with the Knights?
Good morning. Well, the first thing that's cooking is our Benton Council 6103 is having its first Friday fish fry from 4:30 to 7:30 this evening for $10 a plate. So if you're in the Benton area, drop by 1601 Portridge Street and visit with the Knights of Columbus there and get you a plate of fish. We also have on June 11th, the Council 9338 is having a trivia night at St. Anthony Padua Church. And so if you are down that way...
Is that in the same area? Is that council?
That is down in the home of Thibodeau area.
Because those are fun. Trivia nights.
It is. And if you have interest in it, email Reggie Pontiff at Furley, F-U-R-L-E-E, at hotmail.com. And they will get you information about the trivia night. It is a lot of fun. And if you're in that area and want to do that on June 11th, I would encourage you to go by. And an interesting thing this past February that I was unaware of is the Knights of Columbus up in Alexandria, the Charles P. Greco Council 1134 and the Assembly of Monsignor Anthony Pegue 3298, they finally brought to rest a Civil War decedent. Some bones of a Civil War, they don't know if it was Confederate or Union, were located up in that area, and they had a burial for him up at the old Rapide Cemetery in Pineville. And so it's made national news, and so that was quite the endeavor. That was a wonderful thing that they did for that Civil War veteran.
I read that, and that was really interesting. You're right. It was a great article on that and a good story. Before we wrap up this morning, also, there's something going on, I believe, where it's an opportunity for the, is it called the fourth degree taking place coming up in maybe August? For you guys?
It is, and it's in Monroe.
Okay.
So if anyone is interested in that, you can go to the website, the Louisiana Knights of Columbus website, and get information on that. And so that's louisianakc.org. And, you know, in July, we got our KCLS, the Knights of Columbus Leadership seminars going on, and so all the new Grand Knights and new officers, we encourage them to attend one of those two on July 16th with the Prayer Village.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 3rd. Today we celebrate St. Charles Luanga and Companions. To many of us, the name of Charles Luanga is unfamiliar. But in most of tropical Africa, he is known and revered as the patron of youth and Catholic action. He and 21 other young Ugandans, aged 13 to 30, were martyred for their faith in 1886. Charles first learned of Christ's teachings in the local chief's court, where he worked as a page. His superior, head page Joseph Mukaso, was martyred for refusing the homosexual advances of the monarch Muwanga. After this, Charles was baptized, taking over the protection and instruction in the faith of his fellow pages. Since those arrested also included Anglican Christians, the total number of those arrested and imprisoned by Muwanga's order is unclear. However, it was Charles's courage and belief in God that inspired them all to remain chaste and faithful to the end. On June 3rd, they were burned to death for their unwillingness to submit to immoral acts. The 22 martyrs of Uganda were canonized by Pope Paul VI in 1964. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour on Wake Up. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio this Friday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Our next guest is Annie Phoenix. She is the Executive Director of the Jesuit Social Research Institute at Loyola University of New Orleans. And today she's going to tell us what's going on in their office, and also a speaking engagement coming up called Prison Cell to PhD. This is going to be a really good one. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
It's so good to have you with us. Congratulations on your new role. Of course, we're so good to have you, glad to have you with us to tell us on what is happening over at the Research Institute, and to also talk about the upcoming event coming up in a few days called Prison Cell to PhD. So tell us a little bit more.
Sure, yeah. So, the Jesuit Social Research Institute at Loyola, which has been around for over 10 years now, went through kind of a very interesting revisioning process over the past couple of years. So we have been focusing on criminal legal system reform in the Gulf states. And so my background is really in nonprofit and working on criminal justice reform in Louisiana. And so I'm excited to lead JSRI to contribute to criminal justice reform, supporting faculty at Loyola and beyond, because I've seen so much movement in this area and really leadership from faith communities in criminal justice reform. So that's what we're doing. One of our programs is a prison education program here in the Correctional Center in Louisiana. So we're going to have Loyola professors going over to Rayburn teaching.
Hey, Annie, I'm going to have to pause right here because we're having a really hard time understanding you. I don't know if it's because you're on speakerphone or if you're in a really bad area, but we're going to drop a call and then call you right back. But we're actually going to be talking about this with Stanley Andres, Dr. Stanley, in a few days from Prison Cell to PhD. It's going to be happening on Wednesday, June 8th from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Audubon Room at Loyola University of New Orleans. Quite interesting. We've been hearing about criminal justice reform pretty much in the forefront for a few years now. You know, and Dr. Stanley is a formerly incarcerated person with three felony convictions, sentenced to 10 years in prison. And he was once told by a prosecuting attorney that he had no hope for change. Mm-hmm. And he is now a endocrinologist, scientist, and alumni faculty of Johns Hopkins Medicine, and a tenure track assistant professor at Howard University College of Medicine. His book shares titles with the nonprofit he co-founded, From Prison Cell to PhD. So, wow.
But that's I a love good stories like example these. Of reform, reform in the aspect of he didn't get out on bond and just go back on the streets. He actually had to learn his lessons. Mm-hmm. Literally have to learn his lessons while he was in prison, right?
Yeah, and so actually the first 50 participants will receive a free signed copy of the book. So I highly recommend, but Annie is back with us. Annie, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
We'll keep talking and having a conversation.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I would love to really just encourage folks to come to the event on Wednesday. Dr. Sanders is a really amazing person who has gone through a lot in his life and really shown kind of the power of redemption and rehabilitation. And so we are excited to have him at Loyola next week.
Annie, I'm going to have to pause you right there. The connection is still really bad, and I'm so sorry. I think we're just going to have to cut the interview short here, but don't fret because we are going to have Dr. Stanley on with us next week to go into greater detail on this event. So Wednesday, June 8th from 5 to 6 p.m., we're going to have you on again to talk about your new role as the executive director of the Jesuit Social Research Institute at Loyola University of New Orleans. Thank you, Annie. I apologize for the bad connection there. But you can go to loyno.edu for more information and to find out what's happening at Loyola this summer. And of course, as we gear into the fall, because fall is right around the corner, I know parents, we don't like to think about it because we just got into summer. I just got the school supplies list 2 days ago
The fall. Okay, so, now that's too soon. I'm sorry.
I know we're already thinking about that. But anyway, I just wanted to update you guys. Drive time, you know, we talked about it a little bit before, but we are having our summer drive time, June 28th through the 30th. It's 3 days of on-air fundraising at our Baton Rouge studio. We're going to have guests every hour. It's going to be a blast. And of course, it's just going to be a good time. So please save those dates, June 28th through the 30th. Those continue to help us expand and reach more people who are homebound, who need to hear the gospel message, who need to hear Catholic Community Radio or Wake Up. And if you're listening to us right now, those are your dollars at work. So save those dates, June 28th through the 30th. So it's going to be a really great time. Looking forward to it.
And it's the monies we raise during that 3-day period will go to broaden our reach, to reach more people, as you said, Gabby. Mm-hmm. Also to improve our technology, which is ongoing battles in some cases. You know, the evil one does not want us to do what we're doing.
That's right.
And that's why we love to fight, because this is just a good way to get God's word out there. And your little contribution, no matter how small or how large, is going to be instrumental in helping us win the war, as they say.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely.
Gabby, do you happen to have some of the guests that we're going to have? Because you put together a pretty good lineup. Or you don't want to tease
it yet? Okay, so let me go ahead. Yeah, why not? Let's just do something a little bit different this time. So I'm going to go ahead and pull up the calendar right
here. You know, while you do that, I just want to let people know today is First Friday. We have our First Friday Rosary at our Baton Rouge studio. So it's not too late. You can go in a little late to work, right?
Well, 30 minutes. Yeah, 30 minutes.
Stop by.
Who's gonna say you're fired because you went and prayed to God and Mary?
Amen. That's right. So we'll start about 8:05. We do have some hot River Road coffee ready for you and some fresh donuts and treats from the Heavenly Donut. So stop by. That's 11924 Sunray Avenue in Baton Rouge. And you know what? Even if you forgot your rosary, we have extras.
We've got plenty. That's right.
Stop
by. There you go. All right, so here are the guests. So on Tuesday, June 28th, of course, starting off with the Knights of Columbus. Knights of Columbus have always been such great supporters of the Catholic Community Radio. Father Chris Decker will be joining us, Father David Dawson, Father Brad Doyle, Father Jamin David, and Father Stephen Dardis. So that is Tuesday on June 28th. On Wednesday, June 29th, we have Father Tat, Father Chris Decker again, Father Andrew Merrick, Kathleen Lee and Dina Dow, and Father Matthew Dunn. So that's Wednesday, June 29th. And on June 30th, we have, of course, Sister Dulcie. We can't have a drive time without Sister Dulcie. Johnny Abair, Father Sergio Serrano, the Catholic Daughters, Deacon Ricky Supreme, and actually his son's going to be joining him as well.
Okay.
Yes, and Julius Laurent, we just spoke to him on Wake Up to talk about his call to the diaconate formation. So that is your drive time lineup. And or Kathleen Higgins, I'm so sorry. Thank you, Jeff, for reminding me. Not Kathleen Lee anymore.
I didn't know if that was her profession. If she was if she had a stage name, if she was Kathleen Lee on, you know.
Well, we all know.
There you go.
That's right. That's right. So. Kathleen Lee Higgins, I like to say.
There you go. Now, if you start saying that, we'll get used to the Higgins part.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, I know that was a lot of names, but I will send an email out if you're on our email list. Of course, if you follow us on social media, then the list will be posted on there as we get closer to those dates. But it's going to be a great time, and I'm so grateful that these many priests, deacons, and lay people join us for the summertime, because I know summer is a time to relax and go on vacation. So I'm glad that they have committed an hour of their day to be with us. So it's going to be a great time.
And, you know, Gabby, we couldn't have drive time without our awesome volunteers. We have regular volunteers who come in every week and keep our database all organized and everything. And we have a great crew who come in to answer the phones all 3 days, and so we're so grateful to all of those.
And all our sponsors and matching sponsors as well to help make all this a great success.
That's right.
So be ready to tune in, the 28th through the 30th, the end of the month.
Yeah, that's correct. And we have been getting a lot of events submitted to our website as well. So if you have any summer events, you can actually submit them to our website for free, and we will post them on our events calendar. Mm-hmm. Just go to ccradio.live and click on events and news. There is a submit your event button, and you just fill it out, and I will post it on our website. And if you want to have an interview on Wake Up, just, you know, you can put it in the comment section. I know a lot of people don't like to do that, but if you do, we would love to talk about it. And it's always a great time just to see what's going on. There, I've noticed there's been a lot of parish, like weekly gatherings, like a Bible study or anything like that. So submit those to us. Yeah. It could be a 6 week, a 2 month, 3 week, 3 month. It doesn't matter. We will post all the dates on our events calendar.
That's right.
Well, and Terry Dixon wanted to remind everyone that starting tonight through the weekend, Father Gillespie stars in the Mafia Murder Mystery Dinner at St. Mary's. Yes. So if you haven't put that on your calendar or you're still looking for something to do, that could happen. It's on, they're located at Wool Market Road. And again, it's in Biloxi starting tonight. So find out more at the Gulf Pine newspaper.
Okay, okay, but, there you go. Yeah. I was wondering if you have to make
We're on our website. Oh,
that sounds like a kick. Yeah. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, that's why I figured to throw it out there one more time.
I'm glad you did.
Awesome. The Catholic Foodie joins us right after the break. Stay with us. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. The divide is growing between abortion-friendly politicians, almost exclusively Democrats, and American voters. Well over a dozen polls reinforce the point, yet abortion-friendly media pundits are essentially supporting the myth that opposition to abortion will not lead to perhaps profound losses at the polls in November. A brand new Gallup poll finds 71% of Americans disagree with the Democrat Party platform calling for abortion at any time in pregnancy. 55%, still a majority, oppose abortion after the first trimester. Governor Ron DeSantis says a lawsuit against Florida's new 15-week abortion ban will likely fail. The suit is seeking to find abortion in Florida's constitution. DeSantis is also challenging men in the culture, saying the lack of fathers is the main source of America's problems. He appeared on the First Class Fathers podcast last week. This is Life News Radio. A culture of life has a rarely mentioned but very formidable enemy. Pornography is material that deceives its consumers into thinking that they possess beauty, while the reality is they are possessed by a lie. The first step may be to talk openly with your pastor or confessor. Reject the lie and recognize that a culture of life relies upon you. British abortion critics report numerous failures by abortion providers there. Incompetent staff, poor training and life support, storage of remains in unlocked closets, and risky, even life-threatening surgical conditions are among the complaints uncovered. The real tragedy, they say, is that children are not offered dignity in life. The means and ends of abortion match that indignity. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado on this beautiful Friday. It is First Friday, so stop by our Baton Rouge studio to join us for First Friday Rosary. That'll be about 8:05. We're at 11924 Sunray Avenue in Baton Rouge. We would love for you to stop by, have a cup of River Road coffee and a little treat from the Heavenly Donut and join us in prayer. If you can't make it, know that we always remember our listeners and our supporters and your intentions in our prayers.
Yeah. Yeah, and between now and the end of the hour, if you have some intentions, we'd love to have you share them with us.
That's
and
right,
we'll include them in our prayer this morning.
Absolutely. Well, we're joined this Friday, as we are every Friday, with our good friend Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, y'all.
It's so great to visit with you this morning. You had a great weekend last weekend at the Greek Fest.
We did. We did.
Did you do some dancing, Jeff? Come on, be honest.
Well, I may have swayed a bit.
Oh. Chair dancing, that's my favorite kind.
You know, just from side to side. I am not talented on the dance floor, I'll tell you that. My wife will tell you that, too.
Well, that's thank God you don't have to dance while you're cooking.
That's right.
Well, every once in a while, I do a little two-step, you know, with the at the stove.
But that's good. Anyway. Okay. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, so you and I were visiting just a little bit and talking about Greek Fest, and also just wondering, I know that there's some special seasoning you like to buy at Greek Fest.
There is, yeah. There's a little seasoning pack that they put together. You know, the Greek Fest, I mean, it's funny. It's really just like a church fair, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how it started, church fair, church festival for the Greek Orthodox Church. But it kind of morphed into, like, this event. And this was back, I think, in the early 80s, if I'm not mistaken. And so it's like, for them, a celebration, I guess, of Greek culture, which is mm-hmm. similar to what, you know, my wife, Char, her family's Lebanese, and they had the same sort of things that they do, not necessarily attached to a church, but they have conventions or conferences that they have throughout the year, different times of the year. Mm-hmm. Every year, it's like a heritage club, a culture club, you know, mm-hmm. trying to hold on to the food and the family and the music and all those cultural aspects. And so they have certain, like, a Greek grocery there mm-hmm. at Greek Fest every year, and my kids used to volunteer, you know, when they were younger, all the way up until, I think, 3 years ago was the last one before COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And the older kids were volunteering in the grocery. But they had this Greek season, and it's just a combination of a bunch of dried seasonings, and it's got kind of a Greek flavored or Mediterranean kind of flavored profile. And we use that a lot. I used to buy bags and bags of that and bring it home. But the Greek, it's just something about being there and the music and just the crowds of people. And it was so good to see people. I have to tell you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was.
Yes. And yummy food, good. I'm guessing.
Oh, my goodness. And you see the lambs out on the spit, you know, wow. rotating over the hot coals to cook. And it's just that the smell is just wonderful. And beautiful weather last weekend. So if you've never been, yeah, I do recommend at least going and seeing it one time. It's quite a treat. But I was thinking, you know, you mentioned the Greek seasonings, and that's wonderful, and it's great to get all the dried stuff, but you know what, they didn't have it this year. They didn't have it this year, but a lot of times they'll have little plants of fresh herbs.
Yes.
You know, like you have the basil and mint. Mint is a big one. Mm-hmm. And some of the others. And that, I love working with fresh herbs.
Yes.
And we have mint growing in our yard, and we also have a big old planter full of mint, mm-hmm. and can't get enough of it.
Yes.
It beats out the dried stuff any day.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I find that it's important to keep it in a planter because it will take over.
Oh, the mint will.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Weed. Yes.
Yeah.
So I keep it in containers so it doesn't take over everything else. So, you know what is, go ahead.
I'm just saying, I know that right now, I mean, mint is great, but if you can get your hands on some fresh basil.
Yes.
Yeah, that's some good stuff.
That's right. So our garden at our house, all of a sudden our basil has just exploded. And Jeff and I were chatting about this and what to do with it. It is just taking over the whole, you know, you can only have so many caprese salads, right? So what to do with all the fresh basil in your yard?
Well, I tell you, you know, this is something about, it helps remind us that we're human, right? I mean, if you remember, and Exodus, God gives the people manna. And how long did they have it for? It's just for the day, right? It's like you go out and collect what you need just for the day, and then tomorrow I'll give you some more.
Right.
But if you collected more than you needed, it would rot.
Yes.
And it's like we live our lives with these seasons. And I know how most of us are. I'm the same way. It's like if I have something good, I want to get some extra so I can save it.
Yes.
Right? I don't know what's going to – But this is the beautiful thing. It's like you got fresh basil right now. It's not going to be there all year.
Mm-hmm.
But while you have it, use it. And that's so I love using it. Put on everything. Yes. In my salads.
Is there?
Not just a caprese salad, but just lettuce. Just throw it in. Just tear it up and throw it in with your lettuce.
See, I've never done
put
that.
Put it over pasta.
Is there a way you could dry it or store it? Is there, you know, like you could do a certain bay leaf and things like that?
Dry it.
Well, you can.
And crush it just like you would.
You can?
Yeah.
And it still has the flavor?
Yeah, but nothing has the flavor like fresh.
Fresh.
You know,
no,
fresh is true. Just so, you have to use so much more dry.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Jeff?
No.
Yeah, my wife said that about me last night.
Oh, do I?
She didn't like me being dry. You know, I mean, I'm dry sense of humor.
You are a dry sense of humor. Oh, golly.
Thanks for explaining. You just demonstrated.
Yes.
She prefers when I have fresh humor.
I know that, you know, in terms of, like, preserving it, I mean, basil pesto is classic, right? It's a way to take a bunch of basil you have and make it into something that you can use over a period of time.
Yeah.
And it's great. Pesto is wonderful. But there are other things you could do, too. I mean, you can make, like, one thing is a basil, like, compound butter.
Oh.
Right? Because you can make that.
So good.
If you take that, and you can use it right away.
Okay.
Right? If you're cooking something, you want to add this butter to it, you can use it right away. But you could also wrap it in a roll, like roll it up into wax paper, stick it into like a plastic Ziploc type bag, and stick it in the freezer. It'll be good for 6 months.
Yes. Wow.
And you can pull that out whenever you need to and just slice off of it. You can top a hot steak. You pull a steak out, cook a steak, top it with some little basil butter on top, or any kind of meat, chicken, pork, fish. I mean, it'll go with any of that.
Yeah.
You can add it to pastas. If you're making pasta, you can just slice some of that butter and put it on top. And it adds just a pop of flavor. And when you're doing a compound butter, it's not a lot of times. I mean, you could just do butter and basil.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times you're going to add like fresh lemon juice or lemon zest, Parmesan cheese, garlic, some minced garlic, and salt. And so you're going to have a pop of flavor. It's going to have the basil there. Definitely going to have that flavor. But you've got a little extra.
Oh, yeah.
That goes a long way when you're using it in that kind of, you know, as a compound butter, you just put a little dollop on top.
So I know there's no recipe, please, but are you going to use salted or unsalted butter to do this, or whatever you have in the fridge?
You can use whatever. Either way, I mean, you definitely want the salt.
Right.
And
right.
So for me personally, because the salt is going to add the flavor.
Yes, yes.
You know, for me personally, I like to use salted.
Okay.
And then when I go to add, once it's all mixed, because you're going to mix all the ingredients, it's not rocket science, and you don't have to, like, cook it for a long time. It's, you're just using, like, two sticks of butter softened. Mm-hmm. You're going to mix all those ingredients together.
Okay.
And let it sit for about 20 minutes or so just to let the flavors marry. You taste it. And if you think it needs more salt, guess what? You just add more salt.
There you go.
Right? Okay. So sometimes if you're using salted butter, you don't have to, but...
Now, you said cook. Are you cooking it?
No, that doesn't begin cooking.
Okay. I was thinking. Okay, wait, you lost me. Okay, so you're just going to put it in your food processor and just process that
all. That's it.
Okay.
Or you can even use a bowl and a fork.
Okay. Okay. Well, that sounds good. Well, Jeff Young... we're ready to do that. My husband just texted and said, hey, we're going to have that on bread.
Yeah.
But he can do that too.
Happy Friday, June 3rd, and welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado along with Gabby Smith and Alicia Quibido and the gang, and so glad you could join us. And right now we have our special guest, Father Jamin David, Vicar General and of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, as well as pastor at St. Margaret Queen of Scott in Albany, and just all around nice guy and a man who can juggle more than even a juggler at a circus. Father Jamin, thank you for being with us this morning.
You all are too complimentary. Good morning, Catholic radio friends. How's everybody this morning?
Not to mention a guy with one of the great radio voices not even in broadcasting.
It's my side job. I'm moonlight.
Well, anytime, you just let us know. All right. Today we could talk about a number of things, but we're going to talk about the diaconate formation within the diocese. Where does the Diocese of Baton Rouge stand in regards to the diaconate programs and the number of classes and the number of men currently ongoing?
Well, I tell you, it's a source of pride for sure. We're one of the few areas in the country that I think have what I call continuous formation. So every single year we accept a new group of candidates for the permanent diaconate. And, you know, there's always the perception, well, priest numbers are going down, but deacon numbers are strong. Our deacon numbers are getting a little bit low, too, because of attrition and age. So right now we have 19 men engaged in different areas of formation in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And as a matter of fact, last night we celebrated their ritual mass, whereby the different classes became acolytes and lectors. They professed their faith. They became candidates, all different milestones on the journey, preparing them for ordination throughout the next several years of their formation.
Yeah, and that is the thing. And you're teaming up with Fran Yu as part of the process, right?
Fran Yu has been a strong partner from the beginning. We sort of revised our entire diaconate formation program internally. And then we went externally and said, can we partner with somebody that could do this really well and professionally? And it just so happens that we have a Catholic university in our backyard with a wonderful, strong theology department. Dr. Holland and her entire staff there have been really instrumental in providing good intellectual formation. So our candidates end up taking two classes per semester for 5 years. And by the time they finish, they have 60 hours of undergrad coursework in theology, which is really nice because, you know, we have men in a variety of different educational settings, everybody from GEDs and high school diplomas all the way to doctors and lawyers. It gives men who haven't had the opportunity to attend college to take that credit and then get an undergrad degree in theology by completing 60 more hours. Or for the men who actually are engaged in the 60 hours who have a degree, they can do some transfer credit and wind up with another degree to show their professionalism and their understanding of the faith.
Yeah. Is it like someone entertaining the priesthood? In other words, how does a guy know that he's a candidate for the diaconate program other than someone constantly telling him, hey, you know, you ought to be a deacon? How does one discern that?
Well, it's all based on the sense of call, right? Mm-hmm. Just as a priest would, you have to feel that inner tugging in your heart that God might be calling me to serve the church in a unique and a different way. I think what's interesting with the permanent diaconate is that there is a primary vocation for most of the men that happens first, and that's marriage. So they have to take care of fulfilling the expectations of that vocation. But the second one, the call to diaconate, usually is a result of ministry in a parish. I'm doing all these different things, and it seems like God might be calling me to do something a little bit more, a little bit different. And when they start to feel those tugs in their heart, that's usually when we get the phone call to help them begin the process of discerning, well, what is God calling me to? Is he calling me to ordain ministerial service? Or can I do a lot of the things that he's calling me to just by simply being a layperson, by being a strong lay faithful man in our parish, serving our communities of faith by leading in the faith?
Mm-hmm. And you hear, what is the difference between permanent deacons and transitional deacons? I think people get confused with those two.
Yeah.
Well, if Bishop Duca were listening, he would be proud for me to say this. Most bishops would say that there is no difference in the diaconate, right? Hey. There is one diaconate. Mm-hmm. We use the terms to kind of differentiate between men who are married and who will always remain at the diaconate state versus the transitional men who are preparing for priestly ordination. We know that it's not just a stepping stone, because diaconal orders are very foundational to the call to be a priest and be a bishop even. But at the same time, it's transitional in that it's going to be temporary because there's something else that's beyond. There's priesthood that's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the key requirements? I know you said you got to have an inner calling, but is there anything above and beyond that? Because it is a 5-year program, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. So from the intellectual standpoint, we ask that the person have a GED or high school diploma. But other requirements would include age. Canon law sets a minimum ordination age of 35. So we ask for candidates between the age of 30 and 60, the higher age, simply because people are starting to transition in their life, and our retirement age is 68. Most of our deacons work long past the age of 68, but to give some continuity in our policies in Baton Rouge, we also want men who are actively involved in their parish life, who have done a lot of the similar types of ministries, especially in terms of service, that deacons already do. And if guys are already participating in that rich ministerial life, it's usually an indicator that maybe God's pointing them in a much stronger or different direction.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the services and duties of a deacon once they become assigned to a church parish?
Sure. Most of it is related to word and service, right? So in terms of word, most people see deacons performing their function at the altar, assisting in parish liturgies, but also baptizing, performing funerals, witnessing the celebration of marriage. But the second point, I think, is equally as strong, and it's doing all the behind-the-scenes work, the works of service and charity to those who are infirm, to those who are incarcerated in prison, to the poor. One of the big thrusts that we've had in our assignments in Baton Rouge recently is not only to assign our deacons to a parish, but also to a specific ministry of charity so that other people in the community can actually see deacons live out their particular life of service in all the different apostolates and area of need throughout Greater Baton Rouge.
We're speaking with Father Jamin David, Vicar General of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, also a priest over at St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland in Albany. One final question. Are deacons starting to be groomed more for an administrative role within a church parish to help out the priest so the priest, like yourself, can be priest?
It's all about discernment of gifts, but yes, there is going to be more unique and different opportunities for deacons to serve our communities of faith. Many of these men have had professional lives in the secular work world, and they could bring those gifts and talents with them to help serve administrative capacities and to allow priests to be more sacramental ministers to fulfill our ultimate calling to serve the church in that way. So we look forward to having more men who are capable and willing to serve the church in those unique ways and based on their gifts and talents that they bring to the church.
Well, we know you've been a great addition to the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and you really are a great guy. We also appreciate the fact that you're going to be helping us with drive time at the end of the month and looking forward to having you back. In the meantime, can you leave us with a blessing?
Sure. And so we pray, good and gracious God, as we conclude yet another Easter season, open our eyes and ears and hearts so that we might see the resurrected Christ in our midst, and give us the Spirit so that we might respond to the call to serve the church as zealous evangelizers. And we call down your blessing upon all of us who are here gathered, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father Jamin, thank you so much. Any big plans for the weekend?
Well, it's Pentecost, right? And we have one of our transitional deacons here, Deacon Joseph Reservoir. So we're officially welcoming him at St. Margaret. And I've got a couple of hats. I'm inheriting a couple of new parishes at Holy Ghost in Hammond and St. Albert in Hammond, the Student Center as well.
Wow.
The one good thing you mentioned, I have my hands in a lot of pies. I'm moving out of the deacon director's role, and Father Paul Gross, my co-director, will be assuming that responsibility. And I'm looking forward to have him take over the reins of the office, if you will.
Well, great. Thanks for being with us and taking time out to be on Wake Up.
Have a good day, everyone.
Thanks, you.
God bless.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.